probably the 100th day at this point, probably less, of the quarantine that we have all been living in. And today my guest is Veronica, who is the proprietor of a very unique store in Pasadena, California, called Meow Meows. It's been here for quite some time. It's truly a labor of love. And when I first noticed that she had been outspoken about what was going on, it had continued to the point where she took a very logical stance on what is happening from a small business owner and someone who really can't get any sort of aid or assistance at, you know, from the people that are offering assistance and aid. So Veronica, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell everyone who is listening about you and your store and what it means to have a store like this.
Hey guys, this is Veronica. It's Veronica Starro. Well, I've owned Meow Meows for 10 years. We started off on eBay back in 2001, and I always knew that I'd want to have a brick and mortar one day. So that was my big dream in 2009. And people were like, "You're nuts!" You know, the economy was horrible at that time. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to do it anyhow. F you. I did it, and 10 years later, I'm still here. And then this thing happens. So it's been a roller coaster. Is a very light way to put it. These 10 years, and now with this, it's like, dude, really? Now this? So.
What was your, I guess, inspiration to start a store or to start selling on eBay? Like, what brought you to that point?
That's a good question, because I needed to make my rent. I was really sick with ulcers when I was super young. I was taking a lot of ibuprofen with no food, due to like horrible menstrual cramps. That's right, menstrual cramps. And I burned huge holes in my stomach because of it. So I had to stay home from work. And so I'm looking in my closet. I've always collected vintage, like forever, since I was a kid. So, you know, I just opened up my closet and started selling stuff on this new platform called eBay, brand new company, and was paying for my rent. So I'm like, this is brilliant. But deep down in the back of my mind, I always knew that, you know, one day I wanted an actual physical location. But that was just like a good start off. And it was Meow Meows. It was the same logo, same everything. It was Meow Meows.
And did you find that you had collected vintage clothing the same way some would, like myself, may have collected records? Or were you kind of doing a little bit of both and it got to the point where you were just overwhelmed?
No, nothing like that. I mean, I was just, you know, I've always loved dressing up, you know, just loved the 80s fashion. I mean, I grew up in the 80s, so it was really cool to go into thrift shops in the 80s because stuff was from the 50s and 60s. That's what was everywhere. So I was dressed in like, you know, 60s and 70s stuff in the 80s and the 90s when I was younger. But the want for Meow Meows wasn't out of really a necessity. It was just a dream. And really it was because of that movie Pretty in Pink in 1985. I was like, that's just freaking cool. Not that it was a vintage clothing store, but it was like, a, you know, a rock and roll store, hence all the stuff in the ceiling.
Yeah,
and
you've got the records on the ceiling is a like homage to Tracks.
Yeah, totally.
In the movie.
Totally.
And it is very reminiscent of the movie, the store in the movie, which was pretty much just a record store. But you've got records and you have other things. And clearly, it's a nice combination of both.
Yeah.
What was it like the first day when you turned the key?
Well, we had a lot of soft openings, so it was just more. I still remember the day that I found the space, or was introduced to the space, I should say, and sitting there half in the dark in the space going, okay, this is going to happen. And it was tiny. I mean, this place is tiny, but the first location on Lincoln in Pasadena near Altadena was super tiny. It was like a closet. It was half the size. And we had a rehearsal room attached to us through a door, so we just started throwing bands in there. And so we'd have bands in and out every weekend. But back to your question, I mean, it was awesome. I mean, we were right across the street from a high school. So I remember my first customer was a kid just buying a pair of dollar earrings or something. And he gave me a buck, and I have it taped to my register still. So good feeling, really good feeling.
Now, what would you say was the most challenging aspect of having a store, a small independent store in Southern California up until March? What was your biggest challenge up until then?
I mean, obviously it's always money, but I want to answer more creatively than that, because I mean, money's always on everyone's mind. It's unfortunate, but it's true. It's what's the driving force behind a lot of artists' passion sometimes. I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think deep down we all know it's true. You know, we need to eat. We need a place to sleep at night. I know a lot of people sleep in their cars. I'm going to digress now. So, you know, I came out of a scene I was heading for a long time. I used to do a lot of underground gothic events since I was about 19. And I was a part of that goth scene. And I have nothing to do with it anymore. It's, you know, I'm grown up. I'm a grown woman. And I just discovered then that the people, and I'm going to answer your question because it actually ties in. People were very negative, like horrible people, like just not, just very unhappy people. And I mean, sure, you know, I struggle with depression, but I'm not going to harm anybody over my own issues. And these people are very harmful. And when I opened the store, it was almost like, you know, they're angry. And I had some crazy haters, people I hardly knew, had nothing to do with, and they made my business. So shout out to the haters, because yeah, you made me suffer, but guess what? Still here. That which doesn't kill you, you know, it really does make you stronger. And that's a true, true statement. And I've just grown stronger and stronger over the years, more resilient because of haters, money issues, landlord issues. I mean, you name it.
Were you following the news of the pandemic casually, or were you aware of it, or were you following it when you first heard about it, which may have been around January, at least I think, or maybe December, or was it
full on casually? You know, I listen to world news, and when I hear something local come up, I'm like, okay, well, I'm listening, but there wasn't the sense of urgency yet. And if something is urgent, then, you know, my ears perk up. We were actually traveling. We got married in March 10th. Right. And so we're like ready to go on our honeymoon. I'm about to buy tickets to Hawaii, travel. We want to go to Italy. We get back literally 2 days later and we're getting messages from, because we got married out in Avalon, Catalina Island. And I'm getting messages saying, hey, you know, I don't think we should play this weekend. You know, I'm kind of scared about the whole COVID thing. I'm like, yeah, I've heard of that. What's that about? You know, because I'm all blissed out in my own world. I look it up and I'm like, oh, this isn't looking good, is it? And so we canceled our first weekend show in ages. Everything kind of just snowballed after that. And next thing I know, I'm ordered closed. I mean, the city is ordered closed down, and we are, you know, safer at home quarantine, and my shop door is closed after 10 years. It's insane.
And initially it was a 2-week closure. At least that's what we were told. 2 weeks. They kind of said that on the news. They didn't really say that, oh, it's going to be 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. I guess most people would assume that 2 weeks isn't that bad. But then, you know, you've got landlords to pay, utilities to pay, and your rent at home to pay and other bills to pay. I remember when I started to see you speaking out, but maybe you had started before that. At what point had you started to just, you know, speak more vocally about what was going on with your situation?
Well, when they initially ordered us closed, we didn't hear anything about the 2-week thing. So you heard something else. But see, I'm always hearing different things because LA County is different from LA City. And although Pasadena's in LA County, we march to our own beat over here. Like we have, it's, yeah. So I was surprised that we're officially open today, but I guess we can end in that, I suppose. No, we weren't told 2 weeks. It was an indefinite until the pandemic is over. So I was scared. I was shaking scared. I mean, I was more than happy to stay home. I mean, we completely self-quarantined. We didn't go out anymore. Completely paranoid. And we tried, I mean, I'll be honest, we tried staying open beyond the orders through that weekend. It was March 19th. Through that weekend and into the following week. And, you know, social justice warrior, some blank, 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 called the city on us and said, they're still open. They're still operating. I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to fucking keep, you know, my livelihood going. So anyhow, city came by and said, yeah, no, don't. So I talked to them and I said, well, you know, you understand, right? And they do, and they did. And we haven't been fined or anything. And, you know, we completely closed our doors. But the thing that got me was we weren't even allowed to be here. And I'm like, are you kidding me? How am I going to, I need to sell, how come I can't? And they were so not prepared for, obviously, so not prepared for this. It's basically me, my husband, my best friend, and we come and go, just the three of us. We're not usually here together. There should have been some sort of stipulation if you're a sole proprietor and you're, you know, a tiny little business and you're the only person there, you know, sell your stuff online, try to survive. There was nothing, no way to do it. And so they were saying, yeah, if we even catch you there, you're going to get a giant fine or imprisonment. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So yeah, we were skid shitless, you know, we're locked up, locked home.
And it kind of is ironic because you'll have people using the sidewalk as a toilet and they will not be fined or nothing will happen to them. But if you're trying to go to your business, you're going to have the Riot Act written to you or, you know, read to you.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of an interesting sort of situation.
That's where the anger began in me. At first I was scared. And then when I start getting, you know, the threats, the phone calls, the letters taped up on my closed business door, I started getting angry. So, you know, I'm paying attention to the pandemic. You know, I'm safer at home. I realize that, you know, I know it's real. I'm not one of those hoaxers. I mean, it's happening worldwide. You know, Italy as a country was shut down, for crying out loud. But I don't like being told no. I like being my own boss. I don't like big brother telling me what I can and can't do as though I'm a child. I'm an adult. I can make safe decisions. Just tell me what to do in a safe, you know, what safeguards I need to take. Yeah, sure. You know, washing your hands. Of course. But see, I don't think it's of course or comes, well, duh, for a lot of people. I think a lot of people lack common sense. So, you know, they treat us like kids, you know, wash your hands, sanitize, put a mask on. It's like, well, no shit. Japan's been doing that their entire, you know, forever. That's what you do. That's how you keep from spreading pandemics and flus. We don't. Just like, you know, case in point, yeah, we just piss on the sidewalk, shit in the bushes, whatever, you know? So now I'm getting heated.
Good, because I think that it's important for people to understand that when they close everything down but allow essential businesses and services such as large big box retailers, and not all of them either, which was also confusing, but
weird,
some
right.
of them,
yeah,
and stay open, and smaller stores, at the most, I would say at any given time, you're going to have three people shopping aside from the person behind the counter. Yeah. How is that any different than being around 300 people in Walmart or Target?
Or three unmasked people in a stinky, dirty liquor store.
Oh, exactly.
I'm like, what is up with this? How is that fair? Oh, because they have a food and liquor license, because they sell cracklins and potato chips. That makes them essential. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense to me. I have a friend who owns a bar that they do serve food in. Now, had she closed down the kitchen as she had thought about, you know, a year ago, she would be in totally awful shape.
Yep.
She has that to fall back on, and she's had to modify her business.
Yeah.
But when you're a retail store that has a very unique niche within a large area such as your store, because I really can't think of a lot of stores that are very similar to what you're doing. It's similar, yes, but not, you're your own thing, which is why it's unique and why it's an interesting experience to shop in, you know?
Yeah.
So I just found it to be completely unfair to people.
Yeah. Well, that's all across unfair. But, you know, there was people arguing with me. I had to get off a lot of boards. Like, whatever. You know, luckily my social media is filled with pretty good people who get it, pretty smart people, pretty awesome people, really. And I'm not getting a bunch of backlash for wanting to be open. I could vent and people would be like, well, yeah, you know, you need a chance, you know, you need to be given that chance to survive just as any other essential mom and pop. And exactly what you said earlier. I mean, some days we only have three customers in all day and I still survive, but they weren't looking at numbers. They were just like, yeah, just everybody close down. It's, you know, it's a pandemic, you know, it's the plague, you know, put a gas mask on. It's like, we really thought it was that bad. And I'm sure it was for a hot minute, but yeah, this could have been handled way more fairly.
It seemed to be a very reckless sort of way to do it. I know that they were just trying to do the easy. It was like the easy way out.
Yeah, it was.
And when they run the numbers and they tell you that there are so many cases, well, cases don't translate to death necessarily. And they never, ever tell you who's recovered from it.
Right.
I mean, I'm convinced that because we have a lot of, if it in fact is originating in China, we have a lot of people that travel from that part of the world to the West Coast, because the first place they'll hit the U.S. by air is here.
Yeah.
Southern California, Washington, San Francisco. And then they'll travel on to other destinations. Mm-hmm. But they'll still be here and see all the things there are to see, because it is a very beautiful place to live. which is why we live here.
Yes. And pay for it.
But I would say that it was here probably in October, September, and no one knew about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had events that had gone on right up until the weekend of, I had one on the 14th. Everything past that was canceled. People didn't want to show up on the 14th because they were now scared.
Of what month?
Of March.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had something, an event on the 14th. And I had stuff subsequently after that. It's been canceled. But I never really understood how everyone immediately got so scared. I mean, we're talking people that I would assume to be kind of tough people, and they're all freaking out. And I don't understand why. I mean, I'm old. I have asthma. I'm in a high risk group, but I'm still out doing my thing. You know, and I'm not saying that it's not real, but at least
you're taking precautions.
Have some common sense.
Have some common sense. But see, I was going to throw back to a couple of minutes ago. A lot of people don't. A lot of people lack common sense. Just, you can't instill that within people. You either have it or you don't. And so they go, well, this part of the pie has common sense. This part of the pie doesn't. So you know what? Let's just throw them all in the house. Lock the door. Lock up your businesses. Lock your kids up. Close playgrounds? Really? Really? Close beaches? Really? Okay.
What's the most absurd thing that you heard regarding all of this?
It's just a big ball of absurdity. Really, I thought the beaches was kind of stupid, but I mean, but you know, maybe I'm wrong. You know, I could just, my opinion is, you know, it just seemed absurd to lock down a beach, because even if you are there with other people, there's fresh breeze. You've got the rocks in the sand. You've got the positive ions. You've got sunlight. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a place where a breeding ground of a killer flu. I just didn't, but I could be wrong. But see, my gut instinct was like, that would seem like the safest place to be. Go get your fresh air, get the water on you, get some salt water, breathe deep, keep your immunity strong.
As someone who has asthma, I notice that when it's aggravated, it's usually when I'm inside my old house.
Yes.
So when I go outside and I start going to the emergency room, I automatically start to feel better.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of like, I don't really want to stay inside.
Yeah, it says a lot.
Plus, you need the sunlight. It's why it's there.
Yes, we need it.
So the store is unique in the fact that you have live performances here. So what have been some of your most memorable, and which ones have you had to cancel?
Well, we moved from Lincoln here. Well, we opened in 2009 across Pasadena, and we moved here 2010. We were only there a few months, and we're closed for about maybe two and a half months. Reopened here, and you know, big deal, you know, we're gonna have bands all day and you know, fanfare and balloons. Yeah, cops came by and said that's not gonna happen. And I'm going, cops? And that's when I learned, oh, cops just don't scroll by looking for problems. Cops get called. And we found out we had a neighbor from absolute hell living in the back of the property who got wind of it. Not in my neighborhood. Calls the cops and keeps calling the cops saying, she's going to have a punk rave. And they actually came by and they showed me and they kind of are smiling themselves. And I'm like, you're kidding me, right? A punk rave? No, it's my business opening up a clothing store and we're having bands because it's our first day. They're like, yeah, we understand. And we know you're trying to run a good business here and lead a good life and da-da-da. But we can't have it due to the complaints. So I've never canceled a show. I've never canceled a show. She's always canceled it. So, oh, what's that? How are we able to do shows today? Yeah, she died. She died. She got an incredible cancer and kicked the bucket. She was the most vile person you could ever meet. Holy crap. I think if you live that kind of vile life, you kind of get yourself sick. And this woman got herself sick. She hated everybody. Everybody. Holy crap. We tried going over there on Mother's Day. Like, are you okay? Old lady. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So she's gone. And things have been fine ever since. So that was a huge adversity in the beginning. Neighbor not wanting to be friendly. She could not hear us back there. You cannot hear anything outside this. This is an old 1950s bit. It's like cinder block walls. Can't hear anything in here. Like, there's people laughing, walking down the street. I know they're heading to your store. I have recordings of it right now. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
So what was one of the more memorable shows you've had here?
Oh, man. We've had a lot.
Like, how did you get the radioactive chicken heads on this little stage?
How the heck did we? I know. You know, I've been a part of Duda for the past 10 years, and I was finally like crowned Duda queen a few years ago. Yeah, I just met him that way. You know, we just clicked, you know, because, you know, I know the guys underneath the mask. So, of course, we all clicked and said, you guys got to do something at the shop. They're like, heck yeah. Cluck, yeah. So they've been doing it for, geez, I think at least 4 or 5 years in a row. Yeah.
And for those listening that are not in Southern California, or at least in LA, Pasadena, what is the Duda Parade?
The Duda Parade is the evil, I wouldn't even say evil. She's the fun stepsister of the Rose Parade that's been happening here for over 100 years in Pasadena on Colorado Boulevard, which is right there. It's the Tournament of Roses Parade. So they're like, we're going to do our own parade. So back in 74, I think it began, or 76, it was kind of like a piss off to them. You know what I mean? Because it's like very hoity-toity back then. So they're like, you know what? Bunch of hippies smoking pot, you know, free the nipple kind of thing. So it's just a fun, everything goes, anything goes kind of people's parade. Anybody can join. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. The Duda Parade. Look it up. It's great.
Are you just open or are you actively participating in the parade because it does go right in front of your store?
Another funny note. So the Duda Parade turns a block this way. The Rose Parade turns a block this way. So we never really get either parade going right past us. And I'm going, really? And we're in a tiny block. So it's like, what are the chances of that? But it's cool, though, because we still get all the... Actually, I think in a way it's good because if it went by, we'd just be flooded right here and no ins and outs. And during Rose Parade and Duda, it's like we got people in and out all day and it's fun.
What do you miss most about life before the pandemic hit? Like you had said you had closed, were you open when you left to get married or were
yeah.
you, okay. So
yeah.
before you went away, I mean, what do you miss most about the time before life?
Geez. I mean, I funny enough, I didn't know we're going to be ordered okay to open today. I had just 2 days ago made a post about missing the store and going, there's so much mixed news going on. When am I going to be reopened? I said, you know, I miss, and it was a short list of miss, but it was just having customers come in, smiling, like tripping out. Cause you know, we have music blasting all day, which you can't play right now, but you know, just like, oh my God, I remember this band. I remember the song, looking at the posters, you know, just looking at, you know, the older clothing and, my consigners. I miss my consigners, you know, they're all good friends and just really most of all the bands every weekend. I mean, that was the coolest. It was like a party to look forward to every weekend. Here, people are shopping. People always go, well, how do you do a show in here? I'm like, come and you'll see. And it works. We just clear out these two, in the front here, I'm motioning to a bag stand and our hat stand. And we're sitting up on the stage right now. And there's in down the center of the store is our clothing racks. And they go, well, do you clear out the clothing racks? No, because I want people to shop. And people do. So that's been, you know, it's great. So they kind of fill up the aisles and then in between bands, we put the lights on back on. They go out, take their smoke break, come in, shop. And yeah, it's fun. Keeps us alive.
I had a small record store that was set up similarly to this, with the exception it was not a stage. It was the floor. There was nothing down the center, but everything was on the side. And I knew that I was in a very small town and I knew that the only way I could get people in there, and plus I'd have to drive at the least an hour to see a band.
Yeah.
2 hours to Boston, 3 hours to New York City. So I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to have them play here. So I just started to have bands play here. They would drive to me and it was the best thing ever because I had no excuse not to go to the show because I had to run the show.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of bands that played there. So I understand why it's so cool because you don't miss anything if it's here.
Yeah, yeah.
You're still open.
Yeah.
And yet you can go to the show.
Yeah. I mean, granted, we had a curtail our the genres. We couldn't have punk in here anymore, which sucks. I mean, I'm a huge punk fan, but we just don't have the space for it. And kids would want to mosh, of course. No, you can't. Not in here. I'm going to break all my glass fixtures, which has happened. Kids want to steal, which has happened. Kids want to come in intoxicated. Can't have that. You know, it's a sober space, you know. So I'm like, yeah, I can't have punk. So I'm against punk. I just look around. We can't do it, so... Well, what if you... No. I've thought of all the what ifs, and that's the best one. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
Who is an artist that you really want to have in here that you haven't had yet?
Vahe Manoukian of Neutra, if you're listening. It's a good friend of ours from his last show was like 10 years ago when I first opened. Neutra, great local band, haven't played in 10 years, and they're good people, excellent band. So when you guys get together, you need to let it happen here. And the other band is a band from Boston called the Upper Crust, 17th century fops playing. Do you know them?
Yep. Powder, oh, God. Powdered wigs.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And
yeah.
The whole old English look.
Love them. We love them. Absolutely love them. We have all their stuff. We fell in love with them because of their look, because we started getting into the whole foppery thing. We have powdered wigs, and we were doing that like almost every day for any occasion, just going to bars, sitting around with powdered wigs, both of us. Just because, you know, and like now, leather jackets and like a
where, why have I never seen that? Because that would have been the greatest sight to see just the middle of any month, not October, no. To see two people just walk in with powdered wigs. And
well, we were actually going to get some plague masks and do our full fop gear, our full, you know, yeah, our full regalia. You know, actually, we found them by just looking up the fashion. I'm like, what the hell's this? Who the hell is this? So we, you know, follow the bread trail that leads us to this band. And I just recently befriended Nat, the singer. And I'm like, dude, I mean, Facebook befriended. I'm like, dude, we're like, we just found you guys and you're dead now. I guess they broke up like in 2017 or 18. I'm like, really? And they just played here in 2019 or 18 or something.
Yeah, I do remember them coming through LA at some point. I remember seeing the name, but I just laughed because I'm like, I remember them because I remember them. From, oh my God, 94, 95.
Good stuff, man. Oh, I mean, just good rock and roll. Just good, good, good rock and roll. Such great songwriters. I hope he's listening to this. But yeah, so I reached out to him. I said, man, you know, is there any chance of them getting back together? And I think he said something to the effect of never say never or something. I'm like, okay, we'll see. But
I mean,
yeah.
Right now, I mean, every band is kind of broken up, really.
Yeah.
Because they're unable to play. Barely able to rehearse if they could pull that together.
Yeah.
I think like watching Zoom parties and house party and like, I can't anymore.
No,
you know, it's just, it's too much. It's not the same.
It's not the same. You need that human interaction. You really do. And it's sad to see now how we treat each other in public. Just to get off a sad, a fun topic, to get back into a sad topic, is just how I'm wondering if we're going to be cool towards each other or be assholes, but something's telling me like our community is going to be pretty cool and open and minded again.
Oh, sure. The underground community. Yeah. You know, you go to Rouse or something, go to another store and you get, if you're even, I have a very good, I'm very aware when people are close to me. It drives me bananas. Anyway, you know, long before this, like you don't really need to stand right next to me. You can stand like, you know, but you see people give you dirty looks
when you're even approaching them down the aisle.
When you're walking by, it's like, okay, I have to get by. Don't give me the side eye, you know, and I'm just trying to
the side
shop.
No, I mean, it just puts me in a bad mood. I prefer not to be in a bad mood. So when I'm going, I'm just like, I make sure my eyes are smiling and I'm humming a tune and just, you know, someone needs to walk by. I'm like, no worries. And like, it's nice when I get a smile back, but I usually don't. So when I do, it's like, yeah, smile, dude. It's okay. Things are okay. You got your mask on. I got my mask on. Just, you know, calm the hell down.
Now, when I arrived here today, there was a person in here shopping.
Yeah.
Was she a regular? Or,
yeah.
And was she glad that you're back?
Oh, yeah. She read online that we're open. Caitlin's like, she didn't even say anything. She just showed up. She's like, can I come in? I'm like, yeah. Just, you know, we're missed.
So that's great that people are starting to understand that you're able to be open. I think it's also very confusing because, you know, a lot of stores don't even know how they're going to be open. And I don't really think much has really changed here.
No, wear masks. I mean, we're not wearing masks now because I need to breathe. I need to talk. I really don't. It has nothing to do with my makeup either. I have a hard time because I have kind of respiratory issues, I suppose, too, as well. But it might be asthma. I don't know. Allergies, mostly allergies. So it's like, oh, I'm under that thing going, God, get me out of it.
Yeah, when I'm out and I sneeze, even when I'm alone in the car, I think that people are like looking at me.
He's got COVID!
In the next car. He's sneezing. It's like, yeah, no shit, I've got allergies. I can't help it. Like, I sound stuffed up because I have allergies.
And I've always known her to be, Caitlin, because she was coughing under her mask. She's like, it's allergies, I promise. Like, yeah, I know. We're all suffering right now because we've been locked up. So I think it's aggravated them. We get out and we're bombarded by 10 million different spores. And we're like, so I'm actually without allergy meds right now. I'm doing all right. I just have side leaky eyes. So, all right.
What are your hopes for the rest of the year?
I just hope people come out and continue to shop, for one. They can shop with us online, your listeners, if they're not in LA. Really just, I don't want another freaking shutdown. Everyone keeps on threatening, oh, there's going to be a second wave. And it's like, man, I think we've been scared enough straight. 2 months being locked in, wash your hands. And that's why I think people are finally getting it through their thick skulls. Just take some precautions when you're out in public. That's it.
Now, we both come from the same sort of underground background. And I was indoctrinated with question authority. Don't trust the government. Yeah. Don't trust this, And the punk rock whole thing was that fight the government and everything else. That up until them telling everyone to stay home and then people are like, oh no, you got to do what they say. You can't question it. Da da da. And I'm like, who are you people?
Mm-hmm.
Can't you at least listen to more than one or look at more than one news source to at least come up with your own opinion?
I don't think a lot of people are able to do that. You know what I mean? Like, just, I can even speak for like a family member. It's like they have a hard time forming their own opinion because it was just pounded into their head and their upbringing not to always follow the line, color in the lines, you know, walk in a line, don't get out of line. So I think it's a lot of older generation kind of instilling that in even, you know, us, Generation X. I mean, a lot of us just were too afraid to, because it was literally beaten into us not to question authority. Don't talk back. Don't talk to your mom and dad. And like, basically now we're like, and we grow up, or, you know, some of us ran away from home when we were teenagers, and some of us just grew up to go, you know what? I'm going to peacefully flip you off, have my own opinion, you know, march to my own beat. And it's not necessarily rebelling. It's just being human, you know, and not being told what to be.
What do you miss most about life before the pandemic shut down?
Oh my God. Honestly, just going to badass restaurants. We love eating. I mean, we love cooking at home, but we just miss going to restaurants. Just going and, you know, researching like a great place to sit down and have great food. Yeah.
What are some of your favorites? Because that's the thing that I love about the LA area or Southern California. It's like,
it's all here.
If you have the strangest diet, there's something for you.
Yeah.
So what are some of your favorite places to go that you miss?
Gosh. Well, my mouth is already watering. We love French food. So recently discovered a few French places, and there's I didn't know this, but there's fantastic restaurants in Las Vegas. So we've eaten at, you know, Paris, and we've eaten at Venice, and just amazing food. I miss going to Vegas. It actually brought a tear to my eyes, like physical tears to my eyes when I saw Vegas shut down. I'm like, wow, that is nuts. What is going on? But here in Pasadena, I mean, he's a server at a fantastic oyster bar. Oh, God, I love oyster. I love seafood. I love raw food. I love sushi. So I'm missing this Japanese place right around the corner here in Matsuri, missing Fishwives, missing a good steak over at Damon's in Glendale. Big prime rib dinners, you know, ribs, barbecue, stuff like that. I guess I can get them to go. It's just not the same though. You know, we're always, was it a buck short for the saying is, but so we find out about the upper crust after they're already broken up, and we find out about, or we get into this great chef named Anthony Bourdain after he's hung himself. And so then we become obsessed with him and follow everything he's done. And recently we just saw that he did this Palm Springs thing. And we're actually thinking about going to Palm Springs this week. But I don't know. Now we're open. So what's going to happen? Pappy? Is it Harry and Pappy and Harriet's? I think it's Pappy and Harriet's.
Now I don't know. But yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I know when you say you question it, I'm like, yes, it's Pappy and Harriet's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a venue. What's this dude doing? Yeah, it's a venue and a smokehouse, steakhouse. Doesn't get any better than that. Can't do that. And then this other place called I forgot the name. Anyhow, Sir Winston, some British place. Just, again, meat and drinks. So, yeah. Just missing that kind of social aspect. Just, you know, as antisocial as I am, I mean, I still enjoy being out in the public and at least being served good food. Serve me good food.
I do find that even the most antisocial person does enjoy being out in public versus like being at home when you, before you had the choice to stay home.
Choices, man.
And now you're...
I have no choices.
Now you have no choice. Well, you had no choice.
Yeah, I'm being told what my choices are and that drives me crazy. Look, you can do this. And it's everything in me that it's making me claw away. I mean, I've been very depressed. I'll be totally open about it. Now I'm actually feeling bright again, but... This is great that you ended up being here on the day that I just found out literally this morning when I woke up, it was okay to be open today, like open to the public and not fear any ramifications from the city. Like, huh? Okay. But then I also come back and find really shattering news is that our tenant in the back room, which has been helping us keep afloat because we have half a building in the front, half a building in the back, she has to leave. She actually got COVID. She's a nurse. She's better now, but she needs to take off. She can't do her business back there. She had another business on the side. So now our back room is for rent. So if any of your listeners, back room's for rent. So inbox me and it's all yours. Studio, art space, office.
And I think that's also what people will realize, that some of their favorite places are now gone. Yeah. They won't be able to come back.
Our neighbors are gone. Our neighbors' neighbors are gone.
Was that the building right next to you? Was it a restaurant or?
So right here on the other side of this wall that shares the same building with us is an art gallery that opened 2 months after we opened. They didn't survive it, so they're gone. Right next to that is Zephyr Cafe. They haven't been surviving since the end of last year. I wouldn't call it anything pandemic, but maybe it is.
Didn't help.
Yeah.
Because they would have been closed.
Yeah. So they've been gone on and off since the end of last year. So I'm just like last man standing here and it's weird. And there's like auto glass on this side of the wall and then an auto place or mechanic next door. So it's like most of the industrial. Then you got this like colorful little punk rock shop sitting here, the Thai restaurant across the street, like down that. I mean, there's stuff around here, but I've always felt so isolated right here. At least when they were open, it was like, and Zephyr was open. There's a little bit of a scene here. People would come get their coffee, come shop. You know, always have the music playing. Now it just feels kind of, and now you come back after the pandemic, and it's like, we're really just sitting here going, anyone going to come in and shop? Yeah.
So 2020 hopefully will be a surviving year for you. Then,
yeah. I mean, failure isn't an option. I mean, I have too many plans for this place, and I ain't going to talk about them because it doesn't matter now. But I have big plans for this place, and you know, just getting married, we had big plans too. It's like, oh, geez. But yeah, 2020 was supposed to be that year. You know, like 2020, bring it on. You know. But again, that which does not kill you will make you stronger. And I think, you know, all things for a reason. And we're going to get stronger through this. And the strong will survive. And we're going to survive. And we'll see everybody at the end of this. And it's going to be awesome. I know it will be. I know things are going to get great again. I know everyone who survived, you know, we're just going to support each other and love each other that much harder and spend that much more money and just keep it going secular and, you know, keep each other afloat.
So tell everyone how they can reach you and what is something that they should buy? Like what is something you're really excited about that you're carrying right now?
So we're, you know, a retro 80s thrift shop, meaning like when you walk in, it's like, dude, you know, yeah, I remember the store in 85. Like, yeah, we only been here since 2009, but you would think, God, flashback. So we do have a bit of everything. So it's hard to say, like, do you have that one thing? Well, because, you know, people go, well, why don't you just sell online? Like, it's not that easy. We really are a thrift shop. If you look, it's like everything is different. One of a kind items. So it's really hard to sell the vintage unless I have the perfect model wearing that exact size, you know, and get the right mannequin. And that being said, he wants me to start talking about, yeah, getting the appropriate models he wants. I know we need models in here right now. So now that we're open, if you do need models, so inbox me. We have a ton of band t-shirts. So that's the biggest, best thing, you know, probably our best seller, our band rock and roll t-shirts, punk, new wave, stuff like that. So, but I mean, we have a bit of everything. We used to, when we were open and normal, things were normal, we dressed a lot of 80s parties. It's like corporate events would come in and go, yeah, we have an 80s fundraiser. You know, the theme is 80s, dress us up. So, you know, the piano key ties and the tutus and the Madonna, you know, fishnet gloves. And, you know, that's just fun and cheesy. But for people who really, really appreciate the decade, I mean, this whole place is curated by me. I mean, I've hand chosen every thing that you see hanging here. So
are you missing that supplemental income from these parties then? Like, did you have some that were planned for this year, or is it kind of like
we had nothing to do with the party itself. Just people that were attending the party would come. They're like, oh, so this is great. We had no idea where to go. We went to the thrift shops, and then we looked at you like, oh my gosh, it's perfect. So they'd come in here and get dressed for their party. We dress them, so $100 a pop, you know. I mean, our stuff really isn't that expensive. I try not to, you know, I'm not a boutique. I guess technically I am, but I mean, when I hear the word boutique, I just think high-end price tags, super clean floors. Yeah, no, my floors aren't super clean. We try. We ain't dirty, but ain't pristine. I think Christine's here moving.
Please tell everyone how to reach you, and then we can wrap it up.
Okay. Our address is 2423 East Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena. Our zip's 91107 in California. You can call or text us at 66-798-6969, which is actually MWMWZ. You can find us on Etsy. You can find us on eBay. Find us on Instagram and Facebook. We also have a Twitter. I don't really tweet on it per se, but we do repost all our stuff from Instagram and Facebook on there. But yeah, check out our links. You know, check out our humble beginnings on eBay. It's the original store there since 2001. It's about 60 items in there of some vintage stuff and shoes and kind of neat stuff like that. So we have neat stuff. I specialize in neat stuff. That's what I sling. Quarantine! Quarantine!